the Falls.
Oh, that's kind of sad. Let's try that again. Good morning, Church in the Falls. All right. People awake today. Well, happy Palm Sunday. What a neat honor to be able to celebrate these unique things that God has blessed us with. If you're here today, let me look you in the eye and see all your beautiful faces and say, God loves you so much and I'm so glad you're here. If you're online, whether it be because you're traveling or because you're sick, we see you, even though we don't see you. We see you with our hearts and we're glad that you're tuning in. We hope that you'll be blessed by today and every day that we do this. I'm so glad to have all of you. I see a lot of faces I don't recognize today, which is always a blessing. Thank you for visiting and joining us today. I'm just honored that you're here. So I want to point out a couple things. We have really good coffee. And if you don't have a cup, you can get it right now, go out and get you one, and bring it back in. I find that I learn more about God with coffee than I do without. And that's just me. Maybe that's not you, but I want to invite you to enjoy that. And let me tell you a little bit about what's going on. We are a family that anyone can belong to. So wherever you're coming from in your spiritual journey, this is a safe place. We love the Bible. We want to study the Bible. We think it teaches us some great things. And as you'll hear today, there's some other elements that are very important as well. And we're glad that you're here and hope that you'll join us in your walk. Here's what we're all about. Our mission is to embrace God, to encourage each other, and to equip the church to engage the world. And that engagement part is what the series, or excuse me, the equipping part is what this series that we're looking at today is all about. And then our ultimate goal, our vision, is to know the Lord Jesus Christ and what, church? To make Him known. Very intentionally chose those words, and they're very important for us to understand. That's what we're all about here at Church in the Falls. Now, in the Bible, if you see things multiple times, it's a foot stomp. And in the Jewish culture especially, that means pay attention. So today, in good Jewish fashion, I want to double stamp some things that Michael set up for us. This is a very important and unique week. And we've been a couple years without a really good Easter environment because of COVID. Thank you, COVID, right? Glad you're gone-ish. We're glad to have a moment where we can celebrate. And so we want to make this one a little bit bigger. And we originally had even grandiose ideas of like a Monday, Thursday, Seder meal. And it was too much for this year. But what we wanted to do is take it up a notch from what we've done. So whether you're a visitor here today or a more consistent member here, I want to invite you for this week. In fact, go ahead and put up the reminder. Well, I think we're choked up. So I'm going to tell you how to do this. Those of you who are not signed up for Remind, I don't believe you even need the app. So if you've got your phones, you can go ahead and pull them out right now. If you're not signed up for Remind, do this, all right? You can always take it off after this week. All you have to do is send a text to this phone number, 81010. 81010. When you send a text to 81010, and in that text, you're going to write this, at CITFG, Church in the Falls Group. CITFG with the at sign at the beginning. That's your message to the number 81010. And we'll have a slide up here in a minute to show you again. But it's that easy. And what's going to happen is when we send out a text, all of you get the text. And at the end of the week, if you're thinking, okay, I don't want to be on this list, you can pull your name off. But just for this week. But we've used this maybe two or three times in 5 years. It's not something we're going to bother you with. This week, you'll get one a day, every single day, okay, as well as an email. But going forward, this is emergency weather. We've got to cancel church kind of a thing. I'd love for you to stay a part of this. It's a way we can communicate to you in a little bit more of a real time. If you're like me, your email, you get around to it, but your texts are right there in front of your face. So I promise you, we will not abuse this. In fact, if we sent out once every 2 or 3 weeks, it'd be a lot in my impression, except for this week. So again, I want you to text to the number 81010. And your message is the at sign, the little A with the circle around it, right? At CITFG, Church in the Falls Group. Everybody got that? So please sign up for that. We're going to send out a text every day starting today with the links to those videos. They're very, very good, by the way. This is a group that I've been following for a little while, the Eyewitness series. And I had forgotten about them, and Michael brought it up to use this week, and they are really good. I watched most of them yesterday. They're fantastic. They're a little long. They're about 12 to 15 minutes, but they just immerse you into a really powerful, comprehensive story. So you're like a bird's eye view of what was going on in Nazareth during Easter week. So So I highly recommend it. You can watch it on your phone. You can watch it on a computer. You can watch it as you go along. Something to think about. Watch it while you're brushing your teeth. You know, just soak in the Lord this week. And let's make that intentional. And I've got two really big things I want to ask of you this week. And they're bookends. Friday. We are going to have a good Friday service. We've never done this before. It's going to be 12:15 to 12:45. And it's intentionally 30 minutes because I want to ask you, most schools are out, right? Those of you who have jobs, bosses are really friendly towards Good Friday because it's religious and it gets really sticky if they don't. So I want to ask you humbly, boldly, prophetically, humbly, ask your boss, may I have Good Friday lunch for 1 hour? And that'll give you 15 minutes to drive here. 12:15 to 12:45 is the service, and it'll be done early, 20 minutes. And you'll leave quietly and go back to work 15 minutes, and you will fast that one meal. In fact, I'm inviting us all to fast just that one meal. It's not going to kill any of us. Grab a smoothie if you need something. But just one meal, fasting. It's like you're going to suffer a little bit because your stomach's going to yell. And I want you to think, you know what Jesus was doing on Friday years ago for you? That's powerful, right? We want to suffer with Jesus. This is a very simple way to do that. 1 hour. And I'm pushing hard, I know. I mean, you don't have to do this to go to heaven, but why risk it? I mean, that's what we're talking, okay? I want to put it on that level for you, okay? It's a bookend. Good Friday service, 30 minutes, short, sweet, focused. This is not a visiting time. I'm going to ask you guys to leave silently when we're done. It's going to be heavy. It's just a moment of sitting and experiencing something. And then walking away, Saturday is your Sabbath, and then we're going to come party on Sunday morning, all right? So those are the bookends. Friday, good service, 12:15 to 12:45, an hour for lunch will do it. And then on Sunday morning is a new schedule, and I want to really draw your attention. 9:30. What time does church start on Sunday?
9:30.
Not 10 o'clock. 9:30. We're going to meet in the fellowship hall. We're going to have a breakfast together with our communion. It's going to be the love feast of the first century. We're going retro. It'll be a light breakfast. There'll be bagels, fruit, things along those lines. And we'd love to have you come join us. That is church. So if you're coming to church, come at 9:30 in there. We'll have a short break to move into the auditorium. And then we will have a high energy, amazing worship. We've been planning this for a while. You don't want to miss this. I promise you it will impact you, especially when you connect. A lot of stuff happening on Friday will bookend on Sunday. I want you to experience those 3 days in a unique way this year. So we worked really hard, and we've been talking about this for years. And I'm excited about it. So I want to push that a little harder than I normally would. But please, I beg of you, consider and pray about this. 12:15 to 12:45 on Friday, right? Sunday morning at what time?
9:30.
We're going to start sharp at 9:30. We'll be out of here by 11. In fact, it might even be a little earlier. That gives us an hour and a half, which is plenty of time. All right? Any questions about this? Is a really important thing for Sunday. I want us to celebrate it together. All right. Normally we just show up on Sunday. Woo, it's Easter. That's great. I want to do a little more this year. And obviously we've got events Thursday and some other things we're going to be putting out on the Remind app for you to consider. But please, I beg of you, consider that. Sunday's sermon is going to be the great reversal. And I promise you, you will leave reversed and changed a little bit. It'll encourage you. The videos, the eyewitness videos are great. We've got Palm Sunday, as Michael mentioned, there's Lazarus and Andrew and Judas and Philip. There's a Peter Pilate, which is going to connect with our sermon Sunday. That's on Friday. Joseph of Arimathea, and then the resurrection with the women on next Sunday morning. So these videos just tell a broader story. They're very biblically rooted, and they will bless you as well. All right. Enough promoting. I'm going to be quiet. But I really hope that you'll consider that. One last thing I want to remind you of. The shoe drive is coming. And it's in your bulletin. Pay attention to that. I think someone's already brought shoes. So whoever did that, yay. Amazing. But more on that to follow. But make a note of that in your bulletin. All right. Today we are trying to wrap up a very large series. One that has been going on in my mind for about 3 years. We've been building on the understanding of how we navigate our emotions. Because it is one of the major blocks to our spiritual growth. I believe this statistically, emotionally, and my experience as a pastor and a counselor and a chaplain in the Air Force. The things I've learned, the things I've seen, and in my own stinking blind life. This is a problem. We don't do very well. And so that is why we've been building and unpacking our identity, looking at all these different things over the years. And it has climaxed into this series, Emotionally, healthy spirituality. And I want to tell you right now, I consider, as long as I'm in this pulpit, this to be a centerpiece of Church in the Falls. We're going to talk about our belief system. We're going to talk about our vision and our mission every year. And we're going to talk about emotional health. Both how we relate to God, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And making Him known. How we love each other well. That is the whole gospel in a sense. Of how we love and how we are loving others. That's the great commandment, the great commission. And it is all rooted in our culture right now with our ability to understand what's going on. And so I want to fly over today this whole series and wrap it with a bow. We're going to cycle back around now. This is our discipleship. This is how we grow in the Lord. And it seems a little off-putting until you start to study and you realize, oh my goodness, this is at the heart of what the gospel came to do, to transform us into better disciples. So if you believe that you're a follower of Jesus, you must address this issue in your life. We've provided a class. 30 of you have signed up. And I hope more in the future. But you must address it, or you won't be a disciple of Jesus. It's that important. So here's what we've talked about. Here's the problem of emotional health. We looked at how God wants to get the Saul out of our soul. Remember that? This idea of just the self-righteousness. King Saul, the Old Testament, he just had this sense of he wanted to do his own thing. And he started off pretty humble, but he got really wrapped into himself. He said no to things like reflection, self-awareness. He was very concerned with his image, right? He said no to things like cultivating a personal and a deep relationship with God. He wanted the blessings, but not the work. He said no to being broken through trial. None of us like trial. But God is saying to him, look, I want to make you humble to make you great. Saul just said, I think I'd just rather be great. All right, now, again, this is a flyover of a very large series. If one of these sparks your attention and you missed it, go back and watch them. They're all on YouTube. But this is the flow. Here's what God is doing with Saul. And then we get this New Testament Saul, who later we know as Paul, right? Wrote most of the New Testament. God makes him blind in order for him to see. It's a great reversal again. This idea of just flipping it up on its head. But he was willing to be humbled. Who are you, Lord? He said as he's blind on the road to Damascus. And God literally took the Saul out of him. He became Paul. And I wanted to draw your attention in Luke 13. Jesus makes a really loud statement that evildoers. Who wants to be an evildoer? Good. Nobody raise your hand on that one. We all get that's bad, right? When Jesus says you're an evildoer, we don't want to be that. Those are the unknowables. Jesus doesn't say you didn't do this or you didn't do that. He says, I never knew you. So what is that about? Why do we say that we want to know the Lord Jesus Christ and make him known? Why don't we say we love God and love others? Because that's right in the Bible too, right? It's because knowing God and knowing others and being vulnerable and that reality is what knowing is about. That's what love looks like. That's why this is such a big deal. And our emotional health is the thing that gets in the way. Because we're afraid. We have anxieties, we're stressed, we're overwhelmed. And we don't want to go into those places. And that is the block to our spiritual development. And that is why there's a problem. David is, we have seven major principles. David is the first one. David teaches us in the Old Testament to know ourselves is the way we know God. That's how we know God. As we dig into ourselves, we go and clean the inside of the cup, as Jesus said. And you look at David. I mean, he's got all these things against him. His family, you're just a little bratty eighth child. Why don't you stay in the field? Mind your own business, right? He's got his mentors, King Saul, saying, no, 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 you can't do that. You got to do it this way. You got to do it that way. He's got this reality of a Goliath standing before him. All these obstacles. And David's like, yeah, I know all that. I know all that. But I know who I am and I know who God is. I've taken down the lion, I've taken down the bear, I'll take down Goliath, no big deal. He knew who he was. How do you know who you are? Because when you know you, you know God, because you're in his image. It's a journey in, is the journey up. And then you know how to love others well, because you can see their dignity and who they are in God as well. This is not a little stuff, this is discipleship. This is how we become like Jesus. And that's why this is such an important topic. And then we talked about Joseph, another huge skill. Not only do we need to know ourselves, but how do we know ourselves? Well, we got to go back. Because Jesus is in our heart, but who's in our bones? Grandpa, right? This DNA, the nephesh we've talked about over the few years, this reality of our world and all that we stand in, that original sin idea, what's going on in us is that we have been twisted at birth. Jesus came out of the womb twisted with all the sin in his heritage. He had a propensity towards sin like we do. Now, he didn't. And that's the wonderful thing about Jesus. But we all have that same struggle where we look straight and we're looking off to the side. We're an arrow that when you shoot, we warble. We've been twisted by life and brokenness. And here we are. And God says, you know what? Consider all your ways to me. Lay them down at my feet and I will make your path straight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That straightening process is what we're talking about. You got to go back to go forward. You got to know where, what am I, how am I crooked? What systems have I learned from mom and dad and brother and sister? What abuse happened to me when I was a child? What obstacles, what challenges, what things cracked me on the inside and twisted me? If you don't know where those are, how are you going to know God? You don't know what he's doing unless you know who you are. That means you got to go back to go forward. That's the second really, really big skill. A third one, we learned about Abraham and Job, right? Journey through the wall. Remember the giant chart? I think we have a picture of that. This idea of we come to know the Lord and we're excited and God's teaching us and we're growing and we start to do all these things. And then all of a sudden something happens in our life that is so horrific that we question God even exists. If you've not questioned God's existence, you're either lying to yourself or you've not got to the wall yet. Just put it in your Bible. It's coming. Several times in your life where you don't even know if you believe anymore. That's the wall. When that happens, I want you to hear, this is God's opportunity to do something extremely deep and powerful in you. But it takes a gut level response before it's going to work. And I want to challenge you to really embrace that because according to the research, 85% of us in this room never make it through the wall. So it raises a question to me. If I'm offering a skill to help us process that, and 30 people out of a couple hundred in our church, what does that mean? Does that mean you guys have found a way to go through the wall on your own? I hope so. Tell me about it. I'd love to institute it. But I want to challenge you to think, how are you dealing with this? Because it is a critical piece of how God grows us. Huge, critical piece. Abraham and Job are just examples of that. This is the death part, right? The gospel, death, burial, resurrection. This is the death. There are things that are going to be broken in us. They're horrific and they're scary and they're overwhelming. John 12:24 says it very well. I tell you the truth, Jesus says, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it'll remain only a single seed. But if it dies, it will grow. It's how God has designed our experience in life. But we get stuck. And then when we hit that wall, we do one of three things. We just sit there and we get stuck and we don't know what to do. And we can't imagine denying God, but we don't really like him and we're just sitting there. We run away. I ain't having nothing to do with that. Many people do. Or, and this is what's most common in our heritage, we platitude God. Oh, everything happens for a reason. Yeah, we really don't believe that, but we're saying it. Because we want to believe that. It's a great thing because it is true. God's going to do great things through everything. It's going to be a benefit to you. But here's the thing. When you're hurting, that's not when that's real yet. That's the wall. And it's important to understand that it's okay, it's even healthy to wrestle with anger towards God and frustration towards other people. Navigate it. What's going on in me and why do I feel this way? There might be some stuff from your past, there might be some sin, all that's true. But at the end of the day, being honest about that is the only way to go through. And instead, we want to come to church and say, how are you doing this morning? And what's our answer? It's a lie. It's not walking in the truth. It's not that we don't want to do the right thing. I think we do. I think we get stuck at the wall and we don't know how to navigate that. I don't want to say God is mean because I feel like he's really mean right now. I don't really like him very much. But I can't say that at church. Yeah, you can. I'm saying that. There's times I really don't like God. Angry with God. Bitter at God at times. And then he shows up and amazes me. And he cycles me back into himself over and over again. I've been through the wall at least three times that I can think of in my time. And I am a different person because of it. And I want to challenge you. That's the death part. It's really important. And then there's this enlarging your soul. What is God going to do through the wall? He's going to enlarge your soul through the grief and the loss. And this is Jesus in Gethsemane. What a perfect week to talk about it, right? Jesus was depressed. Jesus was hurt. Jesus was angry. He was overwhelming. There's tears that are just flowing down his face and sweat drops of blood. I mean, that is intense language. And he's begging God to do something different. That's the wall. Now, he ends with, not my will, but yours, right? We all want to get there, but you don't start there. Jesus prayed three times. Why do you think the Bible records that? I know I don't really want to do this, Lord, but your will be done. Let's go to it. It didn't happen that way. He wrestled with that probably for years, but in that moment was a climactic battle. We have to understand that's part of our journey too. God has called us to that. He's going to grow us deep and wide. That's the burial part. The death is what God allows to be yanked away because of the brokenness of your world. And then there's this moment of, not my will be yours. It's coming. It's a good place. But it takes some work. Those two places are not very close. Death, burial, and resurrection happen over time, not all at the same time. And then there comes this idea of another one. Of, well, what do we do to prepare ourselves for the wall? How do we navigate this? This is about building a life of rhythm that's healthy. And so we talked about discovering rhythms of daily office and the Sabbath. Daily office is trying to pause a couple times a day to be silent and just be with God. This is such an important skill. We have to learn it. And the other one is Sabbath. 24 hours, right? Each week where we stop and do something different. And I want to remind you of a story in Luke 14. Listen to this. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him to her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. You could just see that, you know, Jesus is here, and she's soaking it in, right? Martha, however, was very distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus, and she says, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Now, I know none of you have ever felt that way, but that is so Americana, is it not? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you're worried and upset over many details, but there's only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it. Can you hear Sabbath in that? The world is not going to fall apart when you choose to let go for 24 hours. It's your way to sit before the Lord and go, you know what? I'm not in charge of this world, and I don't have to be. It was meant to be a blessing. I am the Lord your God. I called you out of Egypt. I pulled you from slavery. Therefore, rest and then work. What a blessing. Why don't we celebrate that? That is powerful. So God has had to remind us over and over again. He put the death penalty on this in the Old Testament. That's how loud this is for God. Because it shows a lack of trust. So trying to find daily time and 24 hours a week where you just let go. And remember, we talked about a biblical Sabbath. Here's what it looks like. First of all, we got to do what? Stop. And then we got to rest. That means you don't make anything. You don't produce anything. You don't do anything that makes money. You don't sell. You don't be about business. You just do your thing at home, relaxed. That's the goal. And then savor, right? Big old giant mug of whatever feels good to you. You want to soak in God in these moments. Savor it. And then lastly, thinking man over here, contemplate. Wow, God has blessed me. God did this. God made this world. God made that weather that I'm enjoying. God made that steak that is just sizzling and I'm about to eat it. God made this drink, this beautiful roast of coffee that whatever it is, you just soak in God and contemplate while you rest 24 hours a day. I think sundown to sundown is the Jewish way. I love that because it frees up the evening. It's a beautiful thing. But find a way to do it. It's important. It's a gift. And then the last skill that we learned, actually there's two more, but the seventh skill that we learned is from the Good Samaritan. Growing into an emotional healthy adult. In Luke 10, Jesus tells a story and basically says, look, it's real easy to learn a lot of skills about God and to miss the most important thing. So let me tell you a story. And he tells the Good Samaritan story. The one who should not be doing what he does has the emotional help to overcome his anxiety. The priest and the Levite, man, they're busy. They got stuff to do. They're on mission for God, right? They're all about it. And they can't help that poor guy because that'll make him unclean. What if he's a criminal? What if all these things go through their mind? Their anxieties and their fears get in the way of them doing what God has called them to do. The Samaritan, the evil guy, the bad guy of the story. He has boundaries. He picks the guy up. He takes care of him. He leaves to go to his job and then comes back. He doesn't just get sucked into the moment. He keeps his boundaries. He understands what's going on. He realizes that it's going to be a problem. It's going to cost him something. And he does it because it's what's needed. There's an emotional health there that doesn't get in the way of us doing what God has called us to do. And we want to beat ourselves into submission, whereas God is wanting to invite us into something opportunity-wise. And that emotional health is often what gets in our way. We get wrapped up. I remember when I was at Harding, there was a professor named Flavel Yakely. God bless his mom and dad. I don't know why he called him Flavel Yakely, but he was a great professor. One of the things he said that has rocked my world since that day, he said, he started telling the story of Israel. You know, God took Israel, took them off to captivity, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and it was a horrific time, right? And then God brought them back. And they rebuilt the temple, and it was exciting. They rediscovered the scroll, and they read the scroll out loud. And what happened was an amazing restoration. He said it was just like this dynamic thing. You know, 200-300 BC, this amazing opportunity where they got back in the Word of God, and they started growing, and they started maturing, and it renovated the Jewish faith. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they grew out of this great faith, and they put together the Council of God. It was just this amazing thing. And a couple hundred years later, after the Restoration Movement, they killed Jesus. Now, if you're from a restoration movement, which Harding is, we all sat still for a minute. He said, let me tell you another story. About a couple hundred years ago in America, we had a restoration movement. We thought we got to get back to the Bible, and we're going to resurrect the first century church. And we did it, man. We studied and we learned and we grew and we put denominational things aside. And it was a rejuvenation, and now it's been a couple hundred years. And so I have a question. Are we going to kill Jesus again? Is he welcome at our church? I mean, it rocked my world. Here I'm a Harding student going, what is he saying to me? But he's right. We don't want to be Pharisees, do we? And that is what it looks like to have all the right answers, to study all the Word of God, to know it all backwards and forwards, to keep all the routines and the disciplines, and to miss the most important thing, to not know God and not make Him known. That is what love looks like. And the thing that gets in the way for us is our emotional unhealth. We are afraid. We're scared. We're overwhelmed. We're circled. That person hurt me and I don't know how to deal with that. Those things take hard work and skills. It is discipleship 101. And I just want to remind us how important this is. It is critical. And that is where God has called us. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul, one of the greats who got jacked up by God, says this. If I could speak with all the languages of earth and of angels, who would like that, right? Pretty awesome. But didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong. Or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and I understood all of God's secret plans and I possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, that person's going to heaven, right? But if I don't love others, I would still be nothing. If I gave everything I had to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I became a martyr for the kingdom, burned at the stake, I will not deny Jesus. And I could boast about it. It would be that powerful. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. When I was a child, I spoke and I thought and I reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put childish things away. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is just partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely. And all that knowledge stuff, it's coming. But don't worry about that. Even as I am completely known by God. So these three things remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is what? Love. Don't worry about knowledge, prophecy, all that stuff. Don't worry about that. It's great. Feed the poor. Do your rhythms. Study your Bible. Those are great things. God will take care of that. What He wants from you is real simple. I want you to grow in how you treat others. Love people well. And the only way to do that is to get over our junk. That is why this is so central to the gospel and is so pivotal towards growing up, because we have to leave childish things away. And the last skill that we have to learn is, how do we bend our entire world around God? You know, the Sabbath is part of that. Every week we pause every day a couple times to take 5 minutes to be silent, which is one of the new skills we've been talking, and many other things, all right? You study your Bible, you watch a video, you do these things this week with the Remind app. That's going to create that rule of life, right? All great things. If you don't have a plan, it won't work. So what is your plan to allow your entire life to bend around the existence of God? God says, provide for your family, love your children, love your family, your husband and wife, be a part of this, do that, right? All these things God wants from you. How do you bend your life so that it all revolves around an awareness of God as you do it? That is the rule of life. The first century church, they had a pretty simple idea. They devoted themselves to word, fellowship, bread, and prayer. Really simple. The word, Bible study, right? Is a real important thing. They devoted themselves to it daily. They were in the Word of God. A second one is fellowship. This is that word koinonia, right? Now let me remind you of koinonia. This is an intimacy. Remember all that one another? Confess one to another. Don't raise your hand, but when's the last time you've confessed sin to another person? If you haven't, you're not doing what the Bible has called us to do. It's just straight simple. Now, oh, I'll confess to God. That's not what the Bible says. Confess to one another. How do we do that? That's koinonia. That's that intimacy. That scary, again, emotional health. If we're afraid of it, if we feel unsafe around things, we're not going to do them. That's a journey of discipleship right there. And that's what they did. They devoted themselves to that koinonia, that fellowship. Then they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, which I think is both communion, like we're going to celebrate next week around the love feast, as well as we've talked about, eating with one another, having a cup of coffee. Around the table, everybody's equal. And these are great ways that we can grow and mature as people. We can have hard conversations with people that are different than us. And we have to look them in the eye and go, I don't understand how you believe that. But you're my brother, sister, and I love you. That's maturity. Instead, we want to go to Facebook, right? Throw away Facebook. Let's sit back at the table together. And then lastly, prayer, which is one of the great disciplines. The Word of God and prayer, we do those pretty consistently. However, I question our prayer. Sometimes I think we pray about, give me this, give me that. And all those people who need help, give them that. That's about as far as we go with prayer. There's another part of prayer of being silent, being present, listening, quiet. Those are important disciplines as well. Don't forget those. In fact, Steve recommends, and I think this is a great way to do it. Pick one of those. Bible study, prayer, develop, mature in an area, a discipline, and then add an emotional health one. One of these other things. Like growing into an adult, evaluating the wall, dealing with your feelings, go to a counselor, immerse yourself, read a book, focus on an emotional health, and focus on a discipline. The two together are powerful in making you a better disciple of Jesus. And I want to give you an opportunity. There's a lady, Molly LaCroix. I think I have a picture of Molly LaCroix. Did I pull that? Oh, yeah, good. All right, June 4th. This is totally voluntary. Julie and I are going to be going to the big one on Thursday and Friday, where she is doing all the Emerge counselors, all of you who are part of Emerge or Renew, they're all going to be at this thing, learning from her a new skill, right? So we're going to soak in that. But she's going to be doing a church-friendly version of this topic on Saturday, and she's going to be preaching on Sunday morning with, ironically, my counselor at this particular church. So they're going to do a question and answer, communicate. But on Saturday, there's a five-hour seminar on this subject matter. It's about emotional health. It's $15, and you get free lunch with it, and you get the best in the field. She is the leader in this area. Now, why this may be important to you, she's dealing with something called internal family systems. And I don't know a lot about it, but what I've seen is really fascinating. She looks at the Trinitarian nature of God and how we as people are complex. And when trials and tribulations happen, part of us gets louder than other parts of us. If you think about that, it makes a lot of sense. The part that defends us, right? Well, that's our family. That's an internal family. There's different parts of you that are navigating for control. And, well, how do you get those in equilibrium biblically? She's taken that on and has been seen as the founder of this process of developing your spirit. I'm trying to think of the right word. But the person who developed this looks to her as the spiritual version of this. And she has pioneered this, and she's going to be the leader. And she's in our backyard, and it's just about 30 minutes away. So if you're interested, please see me. There's a flyer out on the wall there. But sign up starts on May 1st. I recommend it. I think it'll be good. Although I've never seen her speak, I've heard her on a podcast, and she's pretty impressive. I think she'll give you something to think about and chew on. It's a way to develop your emotional health. Why not take advantage of those resources? So there you go. There's a freebie. And last one, end with pride. I think, and this is why this is all boils down to this idea. When we don't have emotional health, pride has a foothold. And what I mean by that is, we think of pride as some kind of a self-aggrandizement, where we put ourselves on a pedestal and I want to be prideful, I want to be humble. And so we think the opposite of that is beating ourselves into a hole. And both of those are very unhealthy. Biblically, the idea of pride and the opposite of that, I think one really good way to define it is knowing what's you and what's not. That's differentiation. It's emotional health. That's not my stuff. That's your stuff. And understanding that is hard to do. We talk about emotional intelligence in the workforce. Anybody ever heard that term? That's the differentiation part. Emotional health is taking that differentiation and developing who you are as a person. That's discipleship. Church does that well. Well, we should. That's what this is about. And pride is the opposite of that. When you don't think what's going on, you tend to protect your stuff, right? You protect your territory because you're afraid. How can I confess my sin to you? You might judge me. There's a fear that's emotional unhealth, and guess what happens? Pride. Because now you look like you don't have any sin. How are you doing today? I'm doing... That's pride. Now, we could have a whole series on that. Maybe we'll take that on. I just want to draw your attention to that. How big of a deal that is. Pride is about who is right. Humility is about what is right. It's differentiation, right? Pride will always be the longest distance between two people. So if we want to know God and know others, we've got to navigate that. And I believe it starts and ends with our emotional health. It's a skill of differentiating to allow ourselves to be honest about ourselves. Walking in the light is about being honest. And hopeful about others. We know the Lord Jesus Christ and we make him known. It's how we love. And one last verse, 1 Corinthians 8. Paul again says, knowledge puffs up, but love does what? It builds up. I have killed the horse. We are done. But please don't take this as just a, oh, great sermon, Jesus, move on. This is so important. The next big one that I'm going to look at is emotionally healthy relationships. How do we take this stuff and build skills to love others well, especially those we don't like? Anybody here have anybody you don't like? Don't raise your hand. How do you treat them? How do you love them well? How do you pray for your enemy? How do you turn the other cheek? All that stuff Jesus said, how do we do that? This class has skills to build into that. And so I want to go ahead and invite you, whenever it's coming, probably the fall, it might have to be 2023, but it's coming. And I wanted you to consider, even if you didn't take emotional healthy spirituality, take this one, because I'll cycle them back around over the next year or so. I think it's so important. I want to be quiet, but I want to pray for us and invite you to respond today. If there's something that you need to get right with God or you want to be encouraged in some way, you can come up here while we're singing. There's also a prayer room right outside the exit sign here. Reach out to us during the week, okay? We want to be able to encourage you in this. There's no dumb questions. We're all broken. We get that. We're trying to help each other grow in the Lord. So I want to invite you to that right now as we stand and sing. But let me pray for us, and then we'll do that. Father, I just pray for your Holy Spirit to convict us of sin as you have promised that you would do. Remind us of how easy it is for pride to creep in when we don't clean out the inside of the cup, as Jesus said. Help us to do that, Lord, in all the ways that we need to. And I know all of our stories are individual. Our sufferings are individual. They're unique. And Father, I pray that in ways that only you could do, you would speak to our very inside spirits so that we would know it's your voice unequivocally. Lord, help us to grow in these areas so that we may become full, authentic disciples of Jesus, trusting and walking and ready to truly say with Jesus, not my will, but yours. Not because it's what it ought to be, but because we really experience it that way. Help us to get to that point. And Father, I boldly say, do whatever it takes to get us there. Father, we pray in the holy and the precious name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, and by your Holy Spirit. Let all who agree say, amen. Let's stand together and let's worship. If you need to respond, do so.